This is our Freedom Sunday. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes,
Freedom
yes.
Sunday. This is the time where we get together and we take the time to apply life, apply the Bible to life. So many days we're taught and we hear the word, and sometimes we come into church and we hear an awesome word and we say, oh, that was a great word. But by Monday, we don't even know what the word meant to our lives.
Well,
Today, we get the opportunities to discuss it, to talk about it, to build upon one another. As the word says, iron sharpens iron. So here's our opportunity to sharpen one another with our understanding, to call upon God, to lean upon God, to trust God, and to trust each other that we can grow together, we can learn together, we can experience life together, because this is a family that God has put together. I thank God for the family of New Vision for Life Church. You guys have been a blessing to me. And I pray that I have had the opportunity to be a blessing in your life, as we have all had the opportunity to just spend time. We've seen each other in our downfalls. We've seen each other in our troubled times. We've seen each other's in our overcoming. But wherever we stand, wherever we are, this is our opportunity to join together, to celebrate God, to honor God, to bless God, as we get an opportunity to discuss the Word of God. So once again, welcome to Freedom Sunday. As my opportunity is always to introduce our beloved, our excited Apostle Banks, who will lead us in our discussion today. And with no further ado, I introduce to you Apostle Etta Banks.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. God is good. He is awesome. He's marvelous. He's wonderful. He is our everything. As we have sung today, as we have proclaimed today, He truly is our everything. And I thank God for that. I truly thank God for it. To God be the glory. As Danielle said in the beginning, this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice. Now, I know some of you had checked your email and you knew that our topic today was why do we suffer? Does God allow suffering? And so forth. I don't think there's any one of us that is on this line today. Excuse me. I don't think there's anyone that's on this line today who has done any suffering has not asked God why. Why me? Why people in other countries? Why the children? Why? We all are asking why. And that's not an unnatural thing to ask. We ask, why would a good God, a loving God, allow suffering to exist in this world? But there's a whole lot of things that is covered in that question. There's a whole lot of assumptions that also are covered in that assumption. And so we want to look at some of that. We want to tackle it. We want you to give what you believe, what you think, what you thought, and can you back up what you have to say? Can you back it up with scripture? And even if you can't back it up with scripture, put it out on the table. Let's talk about it. You know, every time we do this Freedom Sunday, I almost think it's like heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, because you're sharing what's on your heart. And we want to share back with you what's on our heart and what's on the heart of God. What is on the heart of God? What is he saying about these matters? What are commentators saying? What are we saying to each other? One of the great things out of doing this type of arena is, excuse me, as we talk and as we share with one another, this will help us when we're sharing with non-believers, when we're sharing with people outside of our community. You will hear questions from us that you will hear from them, and you will hear answers that might help you answer those questions when others are asking you. So let's come forth in full force today. Like I said, I don't think there's anybody on this line that has not asked God that question. In fact, I know there are a couple of people on this line that are suffering today, that are suffering today. And so we want, again, We just want to share and hear what you have to say. And again, of course, always hear what the word of God has to say about it. So when that question came forth, so I'll throw this out now. When that question came forth, is there anyone in particular that you said, yes, I need to know that? Did you have a question right off the bat that we could start with? I've already introduced what we're going to talk about. Anybody wants to come out and say anything about the topic? Excuse me. Oh, bless the Lord. Okay, I guess service is over with today. No problem. We're done. We're finished. I'm through. That's it. This is not supposed to be a pastor or apostle at a bank's day, okay, where I'm doing all the talking and teaching and so forth. This is Freedom Sunday. This is Freedom Sunday. So does anybody have anything to say about what we're talking about? You had a chance to look up information. I'm coming to you, Mark. Okay. You had a chance to look up information. You know, this is for your benefit, okay? This is for your benefit. If you didn't know it was for your benefit, know as of this Sunday it is, and the first Sunday of the month, you are supposed to participate. Go ahead, Elder Mark.
Well, I think one of the bigger things that in the discussion is, how do we define suffering? Because the first thing we think about when we say suffering is, oh, I'm in pain, or, you know, I'm sick or I'm ill. But suffering can simply be you're going through some issues. You're going through something. It could be a mental suffering. It could be spiritually suffering. It could be you feel defeated or you feel beat down. You don't feel empowered. That actually is suffering, because what we're called to stand is we're called as overcomers. We're called to prosperity. We're called to have an abundant life. But when we feel limited, when we feel boxed in, when we feel we don't have the right thing that we need, we may not be in pain, but we still are in a position of suffering. So I think that's something to acknowledge in our discussion of suffering. What is suffering? You know, how do we define suffering in its entirety?
Okay, thank you so very much for that. Before we actually define suffering and or the difference between pain and suffering, what are some of the answers that we know a lot of Christians have given people when people come to them because they're suffering and they've come to a Christian and told them about it? What are some of the answers, some of the cliche answers? And any and all of you, again, jump in and answer. What are some of the answers you got when somebody said, when you told somebody else you were suffering, you were hurting, what you were depressed? What kind of answers did you get?
One of the things that people say is God will not give you more than you can bear.
Yes.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, and when we say that to people, it's like, well, what does that mean? Because what you're going through at the time seems like you can't bear it. So when people say that, it's like, okay, you said it, but what's next? What does that mean? And it's almost like, how can you say that when I'm the one that's going through what I'm going through? It's a lot to me. So that response is not helpful, in my opinion, to people.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Any other answers you've gotten when you talk to somebody about your pain and your suffering?
Yes, ma'am. No test, no testimony.
Okay. All right. That is a famous one. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Anybody else? How about this? How about this?
Just wait on him.
Okay. Somebody had their hand up or something? No? Okay. How about somebody saying to you when you tell them what's going on, and so has anybody ever said to you, well, you just need to believe more. You just need to pray more. You're suffering because you have a lack of faith in God. Maybe you're suffering because there's sin in your life and so forth and so on. Has anybody ever received those type of answers when you've gone to somebody? Trust God. I saw that, Shelly. Yes. Trust God. Yes. And but those types of, pardon? I heard some.
Just wait on him. I have learned that.
Just wait on him. Okay. All right. Yes, these are answers. These are answers that we get as we are sharing with others about us hurting, about us being in pain. Okay. So now, so it sounds like all of you, the majority of you, you've heard some of those answers. You've dealt with some of that. And those answers don't comfort us. And a lot of times, some of those answers aren't true. And they make us feel worse rather than make us feel better. But we're, again, going to look into this. Why do we suffer? Why do we suffer? Now, there was a difference between pain and suffering. Like, we know that Minister Tabika has been in a lot of pain during this time of her healing. She has been in a lot of pain. And pain sometimes can be good. Pain sometimes can be bad. If you, excuse me, if you end up putting your hand over a hot stove and your body reacts to the pain of that, it'll cause you to remove your hand quickly. You get out of the way. So the pain then is a defense mechanism to keep you from further harm. You might not like the pain, but the pain served a purpose. The pain served a purpose. But also pain can lead from pain to suffering. You didn't see her, but with Minister Tabika, in the pain that she had, that led to her suffering a lot. We can be in a car accident and there's pain, but the pain can go from pain to suffering. Amen. And there's times when a disease that causes pain can lead into suffering. So we have suffering all around us. Every which way that you look, suffering is there. Mark, can you give us an idea of, you said define what suffering is. Would you touch on that again, please?
Forgive me, I didn't look up the definition, but in my opinion, suffering is a place where you feel there's a negative attribute to the feeling that you've gotten from a situation, whether it be pain, whether it be, well, I guess you could define anything that introduces suffering as pain, because it could be a heartache. Heartache is a pain. You know, a break of a relationship is a painful thing because you're well, then again, no, because that's not necessarily pain.
Right.
It's like a nerve pain that you're feeling, but that's an emotional pain that can lead to suffering when you go through a bad breakup or the loss of a loved one. It's suffering. Tika's looking it up because my better half needs to help me out here. Okay, so the definition of suffering is the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. So suffering is undergoing pain. So that would say that you don't have to necessarily suffer because you had pain.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm sorry, you don't necessarily have to. I don't know. This is a hard question to ask.
Okay.
To really define it, because you know we go through so many things, and it's like you want to put you want to define what it is so you can figure out how to deal with it. Because a lot of times our approach to dealing with our issues is to define it. We want to say, "Oh, I'm suffering," or "Oh, I've been in pain." But definitively, what is it? You know, where do we stand? What is it? So, no, I'm sorry, I can't really answer that question easily.
Okay. All righty. Okay.
Apostle.
Yes.
I'll use my situation. So my situation had layers to it that led to suffering. So it started out as the pain. And then there were layers to the pain. And so
right.
where so somebody could be in pain and take a pill and then it make it, you know, go away for a little while. That wasn't my case. So the pain was like ongoing. And then because it took so long, it was taking so long, it's been months, now it turned into suffering. So sometimes you could be in pain and you can take a pill or go to therapy or something like that, and then your pain may be gone. But then after a certain amount of time, it starts to turn into suffering, because now it's like, okay, now it's pain. Now you can't do certain things. Now you can't go certain places. Now you're very uncomfortable in the things that you used to do, and you really don't feel like yourself anymore in that process. So that's my kind of definition to the suffering.
Okay. All righty. Okay. And when we looked at the definition in the dictionary,
I
when
have
it said
a question too.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Let me get to who the meeting. Oh, okay. Amen. Who said they have a question? Okay, Ian. Okay, go ahead, honey.
Oh, I was going over about different about pain that I didn't remember. I had a lot of pain, and Lady said that I had pain, which I don't remember having it. But she said that I had different pain, and when they said they take the medicine or a shot or whatever, I told them I didn't want it. And I asked her, why did I say it? She said, I already knew the pain, or I didn't think that would help with the pain. So when it was ungiven to me, I told them no. And I guess it was God speaking to me and letting me go, so I don't get hooked on different medicine for pain or discomfort. So I don't remember being in the pain. So I always, when she said, I said, oh, okay. Because to me, it was the mindset you were, not you, but we were in, that is so much discomfort or pain that you want to take this to help you get through. And Lee told me that. All I said is, God help me. And I never took the medicine that they wanted to give me or increase it, whatever. And I said, oh, okay. But with me not remembering the pain, I said, it was all good anyway. But she was like, yeah. You told them that you didn't want it. And I said, oh, okay, I went through it without having pain. She said, no, you had pain, but you just didn't want the medicine and you got better on your own. I said, oh, okay. So that's the best I can remember that part.
Okay. Amen. 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 I think. Why am I? Okay. Okay. Because I don't know what it is, but between when Ian is on, I get feedback. I don't know what it is, but praise God. Thank you. Marguerite, Pastor Campbell, Brinkley, go ahead, honey.
Okay. I think that suffering begins with pain. I just remember going through breast cancer. And when I was going through breast cancer, it was a test of my faith. And the scripture that I often leaned on was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then the other one is Romans 5:3-5. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I know that as I was going through the pain, which led to the suffering and doing the breast cancer, the chemo and the radiation, the only thing that I could say is that it was a test of my faith, because there were times that I really wanted to give up. There were times that I would just lay in bed and cry because of the pain. So I think that pain leads to the suffering.
It does. Yes, it absolutely does. Pain leads to the suffering. And there are different types of pain. There's an emotional pain. There's a emotional, psychological, there's physical pain. We have pains in different manners. And this, it does lead to the suffering that we have. The Bible, you know, doesn't give us a big definition about suffering. In fact, it says little about suffering. However, there are some cases in the Bible where there it shows a lot of suffering has gone on. There are many cases that shows a lot of suffering has gone on. And rather than the answer being, why did God allow us to suffer? The Bible will respond more to how we should react or respond in our suffering. Excuse me. One of the cases I want to bring out about the suffering is Job. You know, Job is our prime example of suffering. And he lost his children, his livestock, his houses. You know, he lost everything, including his health. He lost all of that. We can thank God that we have not been in a position where we lose all of that at one time, maybe some here in another year, something else. But he lost all of this within a matter of a day, according to how things read. He lost all of this stuff. Seven children or more. Yeah, seven children he lost. You know, the houses came down, whether I can't remember right now, you know, whether they were burned or just crashed. I can't remember right now. Y'all forgive me. But he lost it all. He just truly lost it all. And in him losing it all, he never ever gave up on God, but he had a lot of questions. He had a lot of questions for God. And he knew that God could do anything. And no matter what it is, God's plan is not going to be changed, is not going to be altered because of suffering and so forth and so on. But God, you know, people will say, well, why did God allow the suffering? Why did he do it? And part of our reasoning has to deal with part of the reasoning of us suffering has to do with the fall, of course, of Adam and Eve. It has to deal with that. Adam and Eve committed the first sin, which totally took us out of the realm of what God intended for us, which brought sin and evil to the world. That's what brought the sin and evil. God did not bring sin and evil to the world. Let me get that straight, because a lot of people will say that God is the one that brought this evil upon us. God did not bring evil to the world. You know, this happened by man. And God, when he created us and brought us into the world, you know, he did so, he loved us and so forth. But love, honey, comes, there's an action that goes with love. And so God gave us free will so that we could love freely on our own, because it's what we choose to do. He gave us free will. Adam and Eve took that free will, and they are the ones that failed and then took us out of the realm that God had us in. And then we had to now deal with sin and deal with evil. People like to make the assumption that God caused all of the suffering. Another assumption is that he's unreliable and he imposes suffering on people. Another assumption is that there is never any purpose in suffering. And in addition to this, people also have to suppose that their personal definition of suffering applies to every person or circumstances. And of course, none of those assumptions I just mentioned, none of those assumptions are true. And so understanding suffering requires a much deeper thinking, which the Bible will help us through the life of the one who suffered, the one who suffered. So in Job's life, Satan asked permission to test Job in order to expose Job's faith. Satan asked permission, and God permitted him to do so. So Job, being stripped of everything dear to him, including the possessions, his children, his health, etc. Even his friends who claimed to come to comfort him, they only came to criticize him. But all of this, Job suffered in all of this. And in all of this, again, like I said, he asked a lot of questions. And he had lived an upright life before God prior to this. He continued to live an upright life. He felt that because he did live upright before God, he would have a life of pleasure. He would have a life of joy. He would have a life of good and plenty. That's what he felt that he would have. And when all of this happened, he asked what we all ask. Why are we suffering? Why are we suffering? Well, some of the things, beloved, does anybody know? Let me ask you this. Does anybody know what good has ever come out of suffering? Can anyone point out some good that could come out of suffering? I thought I saw a hand somewhere.
You get to know yourself. You get to know God for the tough situations. You get to know God for who he is. For truly who he is.
You get to know God for who he is. One thing that you're going to learn about in your suffering is either going to lead you closer to God or it's going to make you turn away from him. Those are two things you can absolutely depend on. It's going to take us to God or it's going to take us away from God. And, Malkia, it increases our faith. It increases our faith. And in that, we become aware of our needs. You know, a lot of times we think we're okay. We think we're okay. But then when we end up suffering, we have to really look in the mirror and see some things, because the very things we're questioning about God lets us know something about where we are in our relationship with God, in our relationship even with ourselves or with others. You think you're okay with everybody, and then somehow or another, you end up suffering, and somebody you feel caused that suffering. And the bitterness and the hatred that comes out of your response for that, you know, instead of you praying about the person that caused you to suffer, you got to pray about the attitude of your heart. You know, you got to pray about that. So we find out that we become aware of our needs when we suffer. We become closer to the Lord when we suffer. Our faith will increase during that time. Our faith will increase. It perfects us. It perfects us, Elder West said. Absolutely. It helps to perfect us. Praise be unto God. Knowing that God spoke of how his ways were well beyond what Job could understand. That's the other thing. Understand that we do not understand the extent to which God does what he does. We do not understand it. We're not going to understand it in this time, here on this side of heaven. We're not going to understand the reason why God does a lot of the things that he does. And Job said in Job 42, verses 1-3, first of all, his eyes were opened as he realized he was not qualified to judge God. He recognized that God may actually have legitimate reasons for allowing suffering that he is not qualified to question. And in Job 42, 1-3, he said, "Surely I spoke about things I did not understand, things too wondrous for me to know." There are things we have all talked about that we do not understand, and they were too wondrous for us to know. While suffering is not pleasant by definition, it is not totally without redeeming value. And that's what we're mentioning here, some of the value from suffering. We get deeper insights. I know when I went through suffering, you know, back when I told you, you know, about the rape incident, when I went through the suffering from that, but I saw the blessings that came out of that, I got a deeper insight on why I was allowed to go through what I went through. Excuse me. However, in that also, I was able to recognize my own shortcomings. You know, the how much fear I walked in and so forth and so on. So there's a lot that we learn about ourselves during this time. In our suffering, has anybody used your suffering as a witness to unbelievers?
Yes, it's been a place for me. I'm sorry. Yes, man, it's been a place for me to as a testimony. You know, it increased my faith. You know, I questioned what reason did God have for me to go through the suffering? But mm-hmm. then, as I've heard in some of the statements that we mentioned earlier, that sometimes seem cliche. You know, we all have a cross to bear, or you know, we're going through this for somebody else. You know, God never put anything on us that we cannot handle. One of the health issues that I dealt with, actually, I went through, and then some other people in my family went through and were in worse cases, but I was able to give a testimony of not only, you know, that I've made it through, but what doctors to speak to you and even share some information that helped them to get through it. So it helped me to recognize, you know, God, you let me go through this because you built me to go through this. You made me strong enough to go through this. You didn't put anything on me more than I could handle. And I was able to share that very, those feelings, those things that I went through, share with somebody else, and I helped them to get through their situation.
Amen, amen, amen. In the Bible, when it mentioned about Paul's suffering, Paul and Silas, when they ended up in prison, they're in prison, and they witnessed to the guards. They witnessed to the guards, and the guards got saved. They suffered, went to prison, and ended up talking about Jesus, and the guards got saved. You know, the suffering that you go through and how many people were blessed at it. When I was in the hospital one time during we used to have a 6 o'clock prayer call every morning. And we did that like for 10 or 13 years, something like that. And I was in the hospital. It was my week to teach and pray. It was my week to do so. And I'm there and I'm speaking and I'm doing the teaching and so forth in the emergency room, in my room, in the emergency room, the doctors and the nurses coming in and doing all that they're doing. And some of them seemed to take longer to do what they were doing. And it turned out they were trying to stay in there so they could listen to the teaching that was going on. And after all of that, found out that my connection to the prayer line had cut off, had totally disconnected. Nobody on the prayer line heard anything that I was saying. So all of the teaching and all went to the doctors and the nurses that were in there, you know? So what may have seemed like it was a bad thing, it turned out to be that it was a good thing. It was okay, you know, that I was ministering to them and they asked me questions after, quote unquote, I got offline. You know, so the good can come out of our suffering. If somebody says to you that your suffering can make you more like Jesus, tell me, what does that sound like? What are your thoughts about it when someone says your suffering will make you more like Jesus?
Wow. I would say more patient with people. It humbles you. It's almost like you'll have more empathy when it comes to people in their situation, and and the love that you would extend to people in their situations as well.
Amen. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
It gives us a more Jesus-like characteristics. These are characteristics of Christ, and it causes us to be able to walk in that same type of place. It deepens our relationship with Christ and with others. Suffering will bring you to that point. It'll help others. It'll help you to understand some of the things that others are going through. I know I had an incident. I had an incident very recently And I got very angry. And again, y'all got to pray for me about being offended. I'm telling you, because offense is from the devil. It is strictly from the devil. And I've got to go back praying daily. Lord, help me not to be offended today. I used to pray that prayer, and I see I have to go back to it because I find myself getting offended. And I got offended by something someone said and what they did. And I look, y'all, I'm being transparent right now. So y'all pray for your pastor. Okay. Pray for your pastor. I had the audacity to say, that's it. I'm not praying for you anymore. And I mean, I was that hurt that I am not going to pray for that person. And after I said it, you talk about getting a heart checkup done. You talk about knowing that I made this situation, yes, I was the one hurt and offended, but made this more about me than me ministering the goodness of God towards somebody else. You know, the whole nine yards. It was a mess in my head. I had a headache from thinking about it. I had a headache because I wanted to quit on that person. You know, I could not deal with it until I turned it all over to the Lord and asked God to forgive me. Forgive me, fix me. I'm the one that's wrong right now. I'm the one that's wrong. And when God, as Christians, what if Jesus himself, when we sinned and not once, but did the same thing over and over again, and he said, okay, Dad, just check them off the list. I'm not praying for them anymore. You know, just remove my blood from over them. You clothe them in my righteousness. Move that off of them. They don't deserve that. They don't deserve. Man, what kind of condition would we be in? But because we, through suffering, we are able to become more like Christ, and we're able to walk more in the manner, like Minister Tabika said, compassion, forgiveness, and so forth. We're able to do that. Saints of God, please know that as long as we are alive, and as long as we are in a world that is comprised of sin, we will suffer. And God did not do it. He did not do it to us. But we will suffer. And we must get a Christ-like attitude towards our suffering. Y'all know that one of my favorite verses is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things will work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are the called according to what?
His purpose.
Thank you. Thank you. According to his purpose. Anything that we go through, the enemy is the one that puts us through it. But God is the one that has the final say so. He's the one that can make good come out of what was meant for evil. That's what he did for Joseph. He says, you meant this for bad, but God meant good to come out of this. He took what you meant for bad, selling me into slavery, you know, this, that, and the other, and look where it put me. And now because of the position I'm in, I can bless you. I can bless you. It is so important for us to understand and to respond to our suffering in a different manner. It is what will separate us from the world. It is what will separate us from the world. So we haven't answered why the suffering comes, but we're answering what good comes out of the suffering. And the fact that in all of this, to know that we are never suffering alone. Jesus is with us every step of the way. He is with us in all of our suffering. And you may not feel comfort with that. For me, it's comforting to know that he did not leave me, that he did not quit on me, that he did not forsake me. He is with me the entire time. He goes with us through it. And in that, in the midst of suffering, we can have peace. In the midst of a suffering. I'm not saying in the midst of suffering, your pain would be relieved, but we can have peace in the midst of suffering. Nikki, too, did you say something, honey? Nikki, you're talking, but you're muted.
Sorry.
Go ahead, honey.
Sometimes I think we suffer in addition to, because there are certain periods where we're disconnected. Mm-hmm. Where we have disconnected ourselves from God.
Yes.
And that's when all matter of things seem to come at us, because mm-hmm. we have disconnected, whether we know it or not. We've stopped listening. We stopped obeying. We stopped depending, and we stopped waiting.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Very, very good. Very good. All right. All righty. So during this season, during any time that you're dealing with suffering, do your best to remember that some good can come out of your suffering. Let it be a time when you strive to get closer to God. The minute you see suffering, you strive, pray more, fast more, listen to him speak more, read the word more, because there's a lesson in all of our suffering. There's something that we can learn out of everything that we're doing. And just like when Nikki said, sometimes we've been disconnected, not on our, you know, we purposely did it, but man, life would be going along so good and so forth. We stopped reading, stopped praying, you know, stopped worshiping. We stopped doing all, we've disconnected. God is still in the driver's seat. At one time we were sitting in the passenger seat, and when they had the bench seat, we were sitting right up under him while he was driving. But then they got the bucket seat that separated us some. And then instead of sitting in the passenger seat up front and doing shotgun, we're sitting in the back seat being chauffeured. So we're the ones that have moved around the car completely, and God is still in the driver's seat. Get back up front in the driver's seat next to the love of your life, and you will find out that you will be able to deal with your suffering a lot easier when you know that he is with you. He promised he wouldn't forsake you, and you are not in this matter alone. You are not in it alone. That's all I have, you know, for the day. I thank each one of you, you know, for sharing what you shared. Is there anyone else that would like to say something before we actually bring this to a close? Going once, going twice, going three times, that's it. Thank you for being a part of our Freedom Sunday. I hope that what you heard today will give you some freedom in discussing these matters with others, non-believers. Become witnesses for Christ, disciple others, and knowing that in suffering, some good can come out of it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
So I think at this time, Danielle had to step away. So we will do the offering and the announcements, and then we'll turn it over into the hands of Minister Kyle for our family business.
All righty. Thank you.
And then I guess, Apostle, do you want to do communion?
Communion.
Next?
Yes. Son, go ahead and do the communion now.